Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the beautiful Southern Oregon Rogue Valley, you are listening to Wise Woman Radio, a weekly podcast inspiring women to work from the inside out so you can become your most powerful resource. Are you ready to create a better version of yourself so you can be heard, understood, and respected as the wise woman you truly are? Then get ready, because here's your host, coach, and wise woman guru, Donna Schmidt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Tonight's show is about D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Yes, I spelt it correctly, and you heard it, divorce. Wow, you know, that word conjures up so many feelings. Most of them, if not all of them, are very uncomfortable. If you've ever experienced a big breakup or gone through the actual divorce process, and understandably so, did you know that 50% of all marriages in the United States now will end in divorce? That's pretty alarming. Divorce impacts every aspect of your life, but when you're traumatized or you're triggered, instinctive defenses kick in, and you need information, insight, and support to build a safe and worry-free future. Divorce with Dignity is comprised of a team of professionals who can help you overcome the shock, stress, and strain of divorce so you can save your sanity and, by golly, your money. So tonight, one of those professionals is here to guide you to a better outcome. Her name is Tamula Argue, and she's a family law attorney in Oregon. So let me just share a little bit about Tammy so that you can get a great idea of what she does. Historically, she comes from a family that married in their early teens. Her mother was a single mom with two children by the time she was 18 years old, and she did a pretty good job of raising her. But her mother was always in survival mode, and her main focus was on providing a roof over her children's heads and food on the table. So there wasn't a lot of time to teach life skills. Tammy's father was absent until she was in her teens, and in her own naive way, she thought marriage was a way to survive. She also believed that once you married, like most of us, you married till death. And as a result, she ended up in a miserable relationship for over 20 years. Why did she stay so long? She says it's fear. One positive outcome of the fear of leaving, it provided her time to reflect and learn about herself and to reflect on where she had failed. Tammy says she learned that she is responsible for the relationships she entered. She is responsible for the choices she makes. She learned that all choices have consequences and responsibilities, especially if you are a parent. By then, it was too late to focus on what it meant to be a parent. She already had a son out of high school. Her parenting skills were not good by any means. Her biggest fear was that she wasn't good enough of a parent to allow her son to be able to rely on himself and be a productive member of society. She finally divorced, and today she's an attorney that specializes in family law in the state of Oregon. She learned about responsibilities of parents. All her clients with children have the same fears and anxieties. But what if someone was willing to help ease the pain and fears, help guide you to becoming a better parent regardless of your circumstances, tell you to breathe? What if someone was able to tell you that everything's going to be okay? Tammy believes every person going through a divorce is seeking answers, and she doesn't pretend to have all of them, but she does have empathy and understanding of this stressful process. Her goal is to ease the fear and suffering of the law. She believes this will help you in the long run to become a better parent, a better friend, and even a better partner. So listeners, please join me in welcoming Tammy Argue, attorney at law, to the show. Hey, Tammy, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you're here because I got lots of questions to start off with. So I hope you don't mind.
No, hit me with your, okay. I love it.
Okay, great. So I guess the first thing I wanted to ask you is there's all kinds of people that come, you know, or that have problems with their relationships and end up going through divorce. So what are the kinds of people that are likely to come and see you and seek out your services?
Well, there's all kinds, but the ones that I truly enjoy helping are the ones that come that are shocked and they're just traumatized by what's going on. And then there's the ones that are angry and want to get even. So those two types are the most time-consuming, But those are the ones that I feel I need to help the most.
Hmm. So let's talk about the first group of people first, the ones that come that are shocked. What normally when they come in, what's going on? I mean, is it a kind of thing that they didn't even know that they were going to get a divorce, that kind of shock? Or is it just the shock of the overall process?
It's both. When they're not expecting the divorce, and let's say it's a single or a mom that's going to be single, and they were going along and life was just peachy as could be, and then all of a sudden there's a divorce. They don't know what to do because they didn't plan for this. So those are the ones that need more counseling, and that's where I try to step in and help them.
Okay. And then the second group that you talked about, the ones that are angry, what about them? What are they angry about?
They're angry because they don't know how to break up. That was one of the life skills that I was talking about in my bio, was that people don't know how to break up in a way that is healthy for them. So a lot of people come to me and they're angry and they don't want the other parent to see them. So I'm trying to counsel them on how to, one, deal with the anger, because let's face it, a divorce is a grief process. So the shock and the anger, those are the two steps of grief at the beginning. So I try to calm that down and help them understand what they're going to face when they go to court, because they're not acting rationally, and so I try to bring some of that rationality back into their relationship, especially when the children are involved.
So what kinds of things do you usually, I mean, that when you say they're not rational, what can you name a few things that kind of fall into that category?
Yes. One is the, if there's children, they don't realize the fact that what they're going through right now and how they react to the other person when they're going through this divorce is teaching their children how to be in a relationship. So if they're angry or they're shocked and they just can't react, and the child is sitting back and watching this, and this is where they learn. This is how they learn to be in a relationship. And parents that are angry, they don't realize that's what's going on. So what I try to do is I try to tell them, okay, you've got a bunch of things that are going on, and let's categorize them. Because if you categorize it, then it gives them steps on where they can begin. So number one, be aware that anything you say or do about the other parent, or even how you react, if you're upset and you're crying, that is going to reflect on how the child is going to basically understand what's going on at the time, which could be a mixed signal. So I try to tell all my clients, first of all, just breathe and realize this is going to be a tough process. And so what you need to do is you need to realize your children are first. Understand that they have the greatest need in this process. So you have to basically, I hate to say it because it's such a cliche, but you have to put your big girl panties on and you have to deal with what's going on. You know, the kids need to come first. They need to be assured things are going to be okay. It's okay. Your parents love you, both of them. Your dad loves you. And they need to know that everything is going to be okay. And then once you do that, then you can start realizing what the law says, and you can focus on basically your assets and liabilities, because that's what the law is about, is asset liabilities and divorce. And then finally, you need to focus on yourself, because you have to realize that in order to not be in this situation again, you have to learn from this relationship, and you have to get to know yourself, and you have to figure out what it is a relationship means to you. life is a continual learning process. And so I try to help my clients deal with the law so they can focus on their children and themselves.
That's powerful advice. When you talk about breakups, it's interesting because when I coach my business clients, and sometimes they have maybe some issues with someone on staff, and the first thing that I'll say to them is, it sounds like they're trying to get fired because they don't know how to end the relationship. And that may be a professional relationship, but when you said that, I thought, whoa, that is across the board in everything that we do. We just don't know how to successfully end a relationship before it gets so bitter or it gets so many things happen that now when we try to end it, it ends up being something that is really split. So I hear you when you say, teaching a life skill about being in a relationship and about the breaking up part. That goes across the board for all kinds of things, not only professionally, but also our friends and, even family members too. Sometimes you just want to distance yourself from maybe some negative or family members that are not healthy anymore too. So that's great. I didn't think about it like that. So I didn't think about it as a life skill actually until you said it. That's so interesting, fascinating to me. So in the divorce proceedings, when you have children, because you spoke about those that have children, I have a question on, what does the law say about as far as children?
Well, this is the hardest things for my clients to understand. Okay, because you're the mother, you probably are the primary caregiver, and that's a legal term. Primary caregiver is the person that in the relationship understands when, like a typical mother, when you look at your child and their eyes are watery or they've got redness around their eyes, you instantly know that your child is not feeling well. Okay, the other parent is probably the provider and really doesn't clue in to those kind of signals. And so they're not necessarily the primary caregiver, but they are a provider. So the law says the primary caregiver is one of the factors that they look at to determine custody. The other thing, too, is while they'll assign custody to one parent, that does not mean the other parent loses their rights. Because when parents have a child, they have equal access to the child. And there's very few reasons that are going to deter from that ability to have equal access to the child. So what I try to tell my clients is this. Just because you're in a breakup and you're mad at the father, he is still going to get parenting time. And you can't look at it like a win-lose situation. What you need to look at it is that dad needs the opportunity, or mom in some circumstances, to build a relationship with that child. So the law is going to give them every opportunity to build that relationship. Because let's face it, you only have a certain amount of time to build a relationship with your children. And after that time, they're going to be an adult, and they're going to reflect on the empathy and the nurturing and the mental bond and things like that. And they're going to decide what relationship they're going to have with their parent when they're an adult. So the law says the children benefit from access to both parents because both parents get the opportunity to build this relationship. It's really a hard lesson for people, especially when they're in the angry and get even stage, because they believe the other parent is a terrible parent and shouldn't have access at all to that child. But that's not how it works. So they have to understand what the policy of the Oregon law is relating to parent and children. So the other question that I often get asked about in parenting time is, who's going to protect my children? Unfortunately, I have to tell clients a hard, true fact. I tell them that it's not up to the law to protect your child. You have that responsibility to protect your child when you choose who the father is or the mother is. So we're past that. So now we're dealing with, you have a mom and you have a dad, And the law says they both get equal access to the child. And so now we're going to work out a parenting time. A parenting time is for the child. But what I tell my clients is that's the perfect opportunity for you to work on yourself. So give the other parent the opportunity to build their relationship with the child. And you take that opportunity while the child is visiting to work on yourself and figure out how to deal with this situation in the future in your next relationship. Basically, we're always learning. It's our responsibility to learn. So we have to deal with these life skills the only way we know how, but we can also learn how to be better advocates for life skills and teach our children.
Yeah, and that is the biggest thing, is teaching the children and what you're doing, not so much just with words, but your actions are also teaching them as well. And statistics are showing that children that come from a divorced parents, there's a high probability that they will, in their first relationship, divorce as well, too. So you're right. They are mimicking and mirroring what they're learning and then having to unlearn all of those things. So I hear you. I got a question on when you say equal access. Equal to me means, like, you know, and I know there's a lot going on right now with 50-50 parenting and the father's rights movements, and it's a real push for that. What exactly does equal access mean? Can you translate that? From the law perspective.
Equal access means that you can have, if you're a mom and a dad and your child, let's say you have a medical issue from birth that's a minor medical issue, you're divorced, mom has custody, so mom is taking the child to the doctors, the child has to have a surgery, and there's going to be some follow-up treatment as well. Well, the other parent that doesn't have custody has complete access to this process. That person needs to be involved in it because during parenting time, he's going to be responsible, or she is going to be responsible for following what the doctor says that is needed in order for that child to recover in a positive or complete manner. So that's just the extreme example. The minor example is the non-custodial parent also gets to have access to the pediatrician checkups, to the dental appointments, to the teachers at the school, the progress reports, teacher parent conferences, all of that. They have equal access. The custodial parent has a responsibility to sign releases so that the non-custodial parent can gain access to this information if they're not on a good term and can't be in the same room with each other. And so that's what equal access is about. The other part, too, is no matter how much the custodial parent believes the other parent is a bad parent, the law doesn't see it that way. The law sees that the mom and the dad are looking out for the best interest of the child just because they're a parent. So that is what I mean by equal access. So each county has to come up with a standard parenting plan in which they believe that a custodial, non-custodial parent can have. It's a base and it's a minimum, and it's usually alternating weekends with one dinner a week plus holidays and week on and week off in the summer. And then what happens is if a parent is not engaged enough to be in the child's life, then that's what they will get, is the standard. But if a parent comes to court and indicates and shows to the court that they are more involved with the child, to where it's more like they make decisions on their together, where mom and dad can make decisions, then they will get more parenting time. But sometimes parents don't agree about the involvement in each other in the child's life. And so at that point, the law will allow us to do a custody evaluation And that's where the psychology comes into it. But only at that point does it come into it. But the law, but basically the law says that, you know, both parents have access to the child.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you for that. So if they're in agreement with it, then, and you're talking about a standard plan, what if the parents are in a place where they can at least sit down and negotiate and come, you maybe using that standard plan for something that they both would work out, both for them and the children involved, then do they still have to go to court and be in front of the judge as far as that goes?
No, that's why I love family law. You can negotiate what works for you because every family is different. You don't have to go to court. And that's where I try to get out the word that, you know, divorce doesn't have to be devastating financially. I tell my clients, you know, you can fight this tooth and nail and it can cost you in the thousands of dollars, or you can come to an agreement and take your child to Disneyland, which is probably a better plan. So,
yes,
you know,
is.
Because
it
how much
better.
Fun is that child going to have at Disneyland? He's going to have a ball. So, you know, it doesn't have to cost this. What you have to realize is divorce is a process that requires negotiation. So you have to figure out what you're not going to give up and what you can give up. And if you can come to the table and you can be open-minded and you can negotiate and you can say, well, I can't live with that, but okay, I can agree with this, it's not going to cost you the $1,000. And then you and your child and even the other parent are going to be in a better situation so that you can focus on being parents and not have to worry about the cost of divorce.
And it doesn't compound the hurt feelings as well, too, so there's time in between for the hurts to heal and to build at least a civil relationship. Because let's face it, you know, these kids, you're going to be together way past 18, you know, even though you're both going to attend graduation ceremonies, there's still the marriage, there is still the other children that are going to be born into that relationship and so on. So it's not like it's going to end at 18. It's going to continue.
No. I always tell my clients, you know, just because you divorce this person doesn't mean they're out of the extended family. They are extended family, and they will be extended family until you are no longer with us, because that's just how families function.
Yeah. So it's really good to be very mindful of when you're dating someone and you're deciding whether or not this is going to be a long-term relationship.
Right.
I think it starts from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Dating is a terror all of itself. I mean, you know, but it's true. I mean, you have to know what you expect out of a relationship so you can communicate that with a potential partner that's going to be the next parent of your child. You have to know that. And that takes time to realize what it is that you expect out of a relationship and how to communicate that in a way that the other person is going to respond. Not only that, then you have to know if that person is responding in a sincere manner. Life skills are very important. And as adults, it's our responsibility to learn this.
Yes, especially if you haven't been taught it. Yes. So what is one thing that you tell all of your clients? If you can just narrow it down, what do you think is the most important thing that you tell all of your clients?
Even the angry ones? There's two different things that I tell my clients, okay? One, nobody tells people that when they have children with another person, you two have a responsibility to raise a productive member of society. And if you are not a productive member of society, you have to figure out a way where you teach your children to do that, because that's your responsibility as a parent, and that is what public policy is expected of you when you have a child, and they're not even aware of that, which is interesting. But the other thing, too, when you have a child with someone, the law doesn't say who's a good parent and a bad parent, because there is no definition of a good parent or a bad parent. So there's very few reasons why the other parent is not going to get to see that child. So you just have to come to grips with the fact that, you know, the law doesn't prevent the other parent from seeing the children. And you have to understand this. What you have to agree to is when the law says that other parent gets the parenting time, your agreement is to have the child ready and at the place where the exchange is going to take, and make sure that child is ready to go and visit that other parent. And that seems simple, but it is the hardest thing for certain people to accept. And so I try to tell them right up front what they're facing and what they're up against. And I always, always tell my clients, you know, you need to seek counseling for yourself and even the child. It doesn't matter if the child is 4 years old or 8 years old. That child is going through some stuff, too, and they don't have the words to express it. And a child's counselor can help them process what they're feeling and put it into words so that everybody understands how to help that child.
That's good advice.
It's tough sometimes, but it's what I signed up for. And sometimes it's rewarding, very rewarding.
Yeah. You know, I know you have too, but I've gone through a divorce myself. And so I speak from experience as far as that goes. And the interesting part about mine was I was the first person in a long line of generations that actually got a divorce. So it was very taboo for me to even tell my parents that I was getting a divorce. So that really rocked the boat there. And I married a man my second time who also had a divorce and was in the same kind of circumstances. So, but you're right about learning and growing in yourself so that you don't make those same mistakes the next time, because that I attribute that to, you know, 37 years of marriage right now is because I learned the mistakes I made in the first one and accepted those mistakes as my own and took on the responsibilities of changing myself for the better. So, yeah, and you're right. You know, it's still work in progress. There's still things that occur that it's like, okay, you know, I might need to work on that. So it is a lifelong process, you betcha. But, yes, if you don't get through this and you're scarred, it takes longer. And there's still, it's there. The possibility is still there, but it does take longer. And so I commend you for being, you know, who you are and doing what you do. It's awesome. So we're kind of coming to the close. So I just wanted to just share with everybody that, you know, we understand just how devastating, you know, divorce can be. Obviously, there's a lot to it. And it does affect every aspect of your life. But our team of experts are in law, parenting, finances, health and wellness, and communication, and we're here to help you move through this period with dignity and foresight. So don't escalate the matters in order to make more money. We provide the insight that you need to deal skillfully. So join us at divorcewithdignity.solutions@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook, Divorce with Dignity. And, of course, we'll be here, Blog Talk Radio, and you'll get all the up-to-date notices of future shows. So thank you for joining us this evening, and special thanks to Attorney Argue. I look forward to learning more. So have a great evening, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you, Donna.